This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who benefit from what we hear. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of you for the time that you take to study His speech, the speech that grants us all guidance. It is a healing, it is a shifa, shifa'u lima fi sudur. It is a rahmah, it is a mercy, it is a light, a nur. It is al-furqan, the criterion that distinguishes between truth and falsehood. It is our guidance and our salvation towards Jannah and towards the pleasure of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and your loved ones for spending time studying the Qur'an. Allahumma ameen. Surah Al-Haqqa. Let's talk about first the intro to the surah. This is one of the earliest revelations. How do we know this? When you study the tafsir of the surah, you'll come to see that some of the initial early accusations and the strategies of the elite of Quraysh are mentioned in the surah. So it's not yet mentioning some of the hostility that led to physical aggression against the Muslims. So many scholars are of the opinion that this is one of the earliest surah to be revealed in Mecca, and you'll see some of the accusations and attacks and fabrications against the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the surah, like the previous surah, Surah Al-Qalam. And there's a very beautiful report from the Musnad, the Hadith book of Imam Ahmad. He mentions a tradition, a story about Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who reported the following story. He said, before embracing Islam, one day I came out of my house with the intention to cause trouble to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he had entered the Masjid al-Haram before me. When I arrived, I found that he was reciting Surah Al-Haqqa in the prayer. I stood behind him and I listened. As he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recited the Qur'an, I wondered, I reflected on its literary charm and its beauty, the eloquence of the Qur'an. Then suddenly an idea came to my mind, something crossed my mind, that maybe he's a poet, like some of these people are alleging, the elites of Quraysh. Maybe that's the explanation for this. And just as I thought that thought about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, recited the words from Surah Al-Haqqa, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. This is the recitation of an honorable messenger. It is not the word of a poet. So Umar al-Khattab said, I thought to myself that maybe he's a magician, maybe he's something else, if he's not a poet. And then Allah continued, and the Prophet ﷺ recited, and as he was recited, Umar was listening. وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَذَكَّرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So he recited the words, nor is this the speech, nor are these the words of a magician, a soothsayer. Little it is that indeed you reflect, meaning you must not have common sense, you must not have any common sense for you to think such accusations. It is a revelation. Tanzeel min Rabbil Alameen, it is a revelation from the Lord and Sustainer of the worlds. On hearing this, Islam entered deep into my heart, Umar said. He had not yet embraced Islam publicly. And this one report, some of the scholars dispute some aspects of it, because it seems, if you study all the reports about Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, it seems that there were multiple things that he experienced and observed and he saw and he heard, that eventually, after a while, all of these things kind of influenced him and forced him to recognize the reality. And he said, until he submitted to the faith completely, until he became a Muslim. So this was one of these incidents, and referenced in this incident is Surah Al-Haqqa. Surah Al-Haqqa, if you want to break it down into five parts, this is how I organized it for the sake of our tafsir. You have the first three ayat as the introduction. What is the surah about? What is the reality about? The inevitable reality. And then ayah 4 to 12, you have those who denied the hereafter. Those who denied the hereafter are referenced in terms of the punishment they experienced, such as Ad and Thamud. And then 13 to 17, you have the occurrence of the day of judgment, the resurrection. And then 18 to 37, you have the story of choice, our purpose and our ending. People who receive their books in their right hands and people who receive their books of deeds in their left hands. People of Jannah and the people of Hellfire. Our purpose is all summarized in this passage, as well as the ending, the finale that all people will experience. And then the last part of the surah from 38 to 52 is an emphasis on the Quran being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So responding to and refuting the elites of Quraysh, who rejected the truth and tried to come up with accusations and distractions so that people would not follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And believe it or not, 1400 years later, as we are discussing I'jaz al-Quran, the miraculous nature of the Quran, the clear proof that the Quran is from God, some of the very same arguments the arrogant people of Quraysh had are arguments you hear from non-Muslims today when they are told about the Quran or about Islam. Some of the very same accusations, and you respond to this one, you respond to that one, you respond to that one. You find that they don't have really a way out, and as they're trying to come up with something, they're pulling at straws. They're basically coming up with all types of far-fetched theories. In the end, you find that the essence of the arguments, the positive arguments, suffice. You don't need to continuously refute every single random thing that comes up. Rather, you just need to prove what is true. So there's something called a positive argument for something and a negative argument. A negative argument is when you are refuting something. So if somebody says, what if he's a poet? You refute that. What if he's a magician? You refute that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes these in the Quran. Now, what we also want to recognize is that as Muslims, we need to study the positive arguments, meaning the proofs for a claim, so that our foundation is strong. And when you explain I'jaz al-Quran to others, you are using a multifaceted strategy. You are showing them the positive arguments, and when they bring up one of these far-fetched ideas or alternatives in their minds, their propositions, you use the refutations that we have. And so what it is, a multifaceted strategy. But the essence, the foundation you want to have is what? A powerful proof for yourself, to have a foundation first, and then to share with other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and accept from all of us. Allahumma ameen. What are some links, some of many links between the beginning of Surah Al-Haqqa and the end of the previous surah, Surah Al-Qalam? I will mention two, inshallah. The first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Al-Qalam, فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that, leave them to me, I will take care of them. Leave them to me, I will delay them for a while. My planning is flawless. Trust in the promise of Allah. The beginning of Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah mentions from verses 4 to approximately 12, Allah mentions examples of these people. سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ, we will lead them to their punishment. Meaning Allah will take care of them and lead them to their punishment accordingly. So he mentions in Surah Al-Haqqa, the people of Thamud, Ad, he mentions the punishment that came to them. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. We will talk about these punishment, but ultimately this is istidraj. They were given blessings, they used these blessings for evil, and these blessings led them more and more and more gradually to their punishment and to being completely annihilated, wiped out. The blessings were extended, but it is all part of Allah's flawless planning. He is Al-Hakim subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, at the end of Surah Al-Qalam, Allah says about the righteous people and the people of evil, Allah says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. For the righteous, they will have gardens, gardens of Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He prepared it for them. And he also mentions, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. The evil people on that day will not be able to prostrate. At the beginning of Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what? The opening parts about the Day of Judgment regarding those who receive their books in the right hands and the people of evil who receive their books on in their left hands, and how everything is revealed on that day. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. So on the Day of Judgment, there will be what? An exposing of all things. This is the Day of Judgment. Al-Haqqa is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst al-muttaqeen, amongst those who receive our books in our right hands. Allahumma ameen. I want you again to envision the context. This is the beginning, the early parts of prophethood. The attacks on Islam are increasing on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is where we are starting with a foundation in theology, something that we are all in need of, and a reminder on top of the foundation that already exists. What we'll do, inshallah, we'll recite the ayat for Surah Al-Haqqa, and you can follow along with your preferred translation or with the one that you see on the screen, inshallah, the PowerPoint on the screen. Barakallahu feekum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ما الحاقة وما كذبت ثمود وعاد بالقارعة، فأما ثمود فأهلكوا بالطاغية، وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية، سخرها عليهم 7 ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما، فترى القوم فيها صرعى كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية، فهل ترى لهم من باقية؟ وجاء فرعون ومن قبله والمؤتفكات بالخاطية، فعصوا رسول ربهم فأخذهم أخذة رابية، إنا لما طغى الماء حملناكم في الجارية، لنجعلها لكم تذكرة وتعيها أذن واعية، فإذا نفخ في الصور نفخة واحدة، وحملت الأرض والجبال فدكتا دكة واحدة، فيومئذ وقعت الواقعة، وانشقت السماء فهي يومئذ واهية، والملك على أرجائها، ويحمل عرش ربك فوقهم يومئذ 8، يومئذ تعرضون، يومئذ تعرضون لا تخفى منكم خافية. Going back to the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the first 3 verses, Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, wa ma adraka Mal-Haqqa. So at the beginning of the surah, you have a name for the day of resurrection. Al-Haqqa is one of the names of the day of judgment. It is a name that implies that which is inevitable, that which is promised to occur, that which is guaranteed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes it. And here he mentions the name in the opening verse, the second verse, the third verse as well. So this name for the day of judgment is a reminder in the early parts of revelation to those who denied what is inevitable. Your denial will not prevent its occurrence. For example, as we mention oftentimes, the denial of something that is guaranteed does not change that it is guaranteed and will occur. For example, somebody says that they do not want to reflect on death, that they want to, so you know, like in a certain way, and I don't want to say this the wrong way, some people try to run away from the thought of death, Muslims as well, through certain things that they're doing. Their lifestyles, and we may all observe this at times, sometimes do not reflect a true belief that they will die at any moment. May Allah protect us in the way that we think and the way that we act and the way that we live. And if we do not accept this reality, if we do not prepare for this reality, does it change that reality? It does not. So here, going back to the main point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the people of Quraysh that the day of judgment is inevitable. The day of resurrection is guaranteed. If you reject that, if you try to run away from that, if you try to ignore that, if you are heedless of that, it does not change the fact that it will happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-haqqa, mal-haqqa, wa ma adraka mal-haqqa. What is the inevitable hour? What is the inevitable occurrence? And what will make you know what it is? Al-haqqa, what will make you know? What will give you knowledge of that? These are two questions following what Allah started with. Ayah 2 and 3, the two questions that follow one another are used as a literary device so that those who are listening, the people of Quraysh, and of course a reminder for the Muslims, to make them understand the importance of the theme of the surah and the theme of the reality here, which is that we will all depart, and so pay attention to what is coming next. In the Quran, you see two different approaches to this question. You see wama adraka and wama yudrika. Some of you may remember, I asked this in the weekly class to remind you time and again, when Allah says wama adraka, like ayah number three, wama adraka malhaqa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform you about it in the coming verses, right? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ. Allah will tell you about what it is. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. And then you have in the Quran, wama yudrika, what will inform you, what will give you knowledge about something, what could give you knowledge of something. And that's something that Allah does not tell us about. That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. What would basically give you the knowledge, that information that no one has access to except Allah, about the Day of Judgment being very close. And so you don't have access to it, O Messenger of Allah, and this is a reminder for the people as well. So these are the opening ayat of Surah Al-Haqqa. In other words, pay attention to what is coming next. That inevitable thing is coming soon. Pay attention to the following themes of the surah. 4 to 10, ayat 4 to 10. There's a mention of previous nations and the destruction that they experienced because of who they were. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. Both the nations of Thamud and Aad, they denied Al-Qari'ah. Notice something interesting here about what I just mentioned. Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالْحَاقَ. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. Al-Qari'ah is what? Al-Qari'ah, that which is striking and loud, that which is striking and strong. Al-Qari'ah is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. So in the first four verses of this surah, you have an emphasis on the Day of Resurrection. And two different names are used in the opening ayat. Thamud and Aad both rejected this. They both deny that there's going to be a resurrection. And like Thamud and Aad, and this is a reminder for Quraysh, like Thamud and Aad, they rejected the truth and they died and experienced a punishment, and they will be resurrected for the Day of Judgment. So you as well, O people of Quraysh, are not ahead of them. You are not better than them. You are not otherworldly beings that can protect yourself and prevent yourself from dying and experience resurrection. You will die as well, like the nations before you who were immoral and they experienced what they experienced. Now, Aad and Thamud were not a mystery to the people of Quraysh. They were known to them. And so a human being here is being reminded about history. Study the nations that came before you. There are so many lessons to take, moral lessons, lessons that will benefit you today as an individual and especially as a community and as a nation. You look at the rise and fall of different empires, like the Roman Byzantine Empire or the Sassanid Persians or the Ottoman Empire or others. You find that there are many lessons in the initial incline and rise to power, as well as for many dynasties, but not all, a period in which there was flourishing, a period in which they did really well. And then you look at the factors that led to the decline and destruction of certain nations. In the Quran, many nations are mentioned, and they are mentioned so that we today are learning from past nations and past lessons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from that. Learn lessons from other people. When you hear about some story, some person making a mistake, don't repeat the mistake so that you would learn on your own. Take that lesson and learn it. And ask yourself, how can I apply this to my family and to my community and to the ummah at large? The word that's used here, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. الْقَارِعَةِ comes from a root word meaning to hammer, to beat, to knock, to strike one thing upon the other. And it comes with a sense of dread, a sense of terror or fear. So another name for the Day of Resurrection, Al-Qari'ah, something that is to be feared, something that is very loud, something that is very striking. And generally speaking, the concept of Qari'ah as two things that are making noise, or that thing which is making noise, it's usually also making someone startled, right? It's something that moves a person emotionally. If it does not, it is not considered a qari'ah. So this is one of the few places in the entire Quran where the style of the first three ayat is similar. The other surah is Surah Al-Qari'ah. And I want you to think about the names here, Al-Qari'ah, Al-Haqqa, and the surah, Surah Al-Qari'ah and Surah Al-Haqqa. When the curiosity of the human being has entered into wondering what this calamity is, Al-Qari'ah or Al-Haqqa, Allah then will inform you about what it is so that you are ready, so that you are prepared, so that you do not have fear. If you pay attention to the message of God to mankind, when Allah tells you, Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, wama adraka mal-Qari'ah, Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, wama adraka mal-Haqqa. If you pay close attention to the message of Allah to His creation, then you will have nothing to fear on that day. The fear is for those who receive this message and do not pay attention or take heed. Now, there are some beautiful gems here, similarities between Surah Al-Haqqa and Surah Al-Qari'ah. Very briefly, number one is that there's a unique parallel between the opening of both surah. So the opening ayat are basically identical with different names used for the day of resurrection. Number two, the fourth time Al-Qari'ah is mentioned is actually not in Surah Al-Qari'ah, it is here in Surah Al-Haqqah. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. And then you have the third similarity, which is that both of the surah after that open up a scene into the day of resurrection, the finale, the final destination that we will all experience, people of good and people of evil, people whose deeds are weighed on their scales, a scale, al-mizan, on the day of resurrection. And then there's also another part of the day of judgment, another part of that experience, which is receiving our books of deeds. These are two different parts of the day of judgment, one mentioned in Surah Al-Qari'ah and one mentioned in Surah Al-Haqqah. And this brings us to these two nations who disbelieved. فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. As for the people of Thamud, they were destroyed by an overwhelming blast. I want you to pay attention to here the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different names for the day of judgment. He also mentions for Thamud different types of punishments within one punishment. What do I mean? Thamud experienced an overwhelming blast, طَاغِيَةِ. But elsewhere in the Quran, that same punishment, different parts of it, different angles are mentioned. So for example, you're watching a live event, you're paying attention to one thing. You look at another camera, you have a different vantage point. You look at a different perspective, you have a different vantage point. Allah is mentioning many different things about this punishment. In Surah Al-A'raf, He calls the punishment al-rajfa, a terrible earthquake. Surah Hud, it's a sayha, a violent blast. In Surah Hamim, As-Sajda, it has been said they were overtaken by what? Sa'iqatul Adab, a humiliating punishment or scourge. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? At-Taghiyah. Fa'uhliku bit-Taghiyah. At-Taghiyah here is a violent catastrophe, an overwhelming blast or catastrophe that destroyed them. And one of the earliest scholars also said At-Taghiyah also has another meaning, which is sinfulness. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Thamud denied the truth through their transgressions and sins. So those transgressions and sins are one part of the meaning of the word. And at the same time, that very same sin is a severe punishment for them. How about the people of Ad? The people of Ad, وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا, they were punished by بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. They were destroyed by a furious roaring wind. Sarsar could also mean a cold wind. Atiya is a severe blowing of the wind. So they were destroyed by a wind that is cold and it is roaring and severe. It blew fiercely upon them until it pierced their bodies and into their hearts. And it blew fiercely as well upon their lands and their harvest until everything was wiped out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a little bit of an elucidation here about exactly what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 7, سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا. Allah unleashed this upon them non-stop, حُسُومَ, non-stop, for 7 nights and 8 days, so that you would have seen its people lying dead like the trunks of uprooted palm trees. This is the loose translation of the ayah. حُسُوم is complete and successive. And this is what the Sahaba understood from it. And A'jazu nakhlin khawiyah is referring to the hollow uprooted palm trees. So the way that they are destroyed, these people were destroyed as well. Meaning it's as though they were pulled out of the ground and they are lifeless all around after this roaring wind overtook them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Nusirtu bis-saba, I was given victory, I was given help by an easterly wind, as-saba. وَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ بِالدَّبُورِ. And the people of Ad were destroyed by a westerly wind. And so this is one of the things the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and it's used in the commentary on this particular ayah to emphasize how bad the punishment was for the people of Ad. And here is the crux. Here's the question Allah asks. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُم مِّن بَاقِيَةٍ. Can you see any trace of them now? Is there anything left of these people now? Do you find any one of these people of Ad or Thamud, any one of them, or someone who attributes themselves to them, still alive today? Rather, no, they are all gone, right down to the very last one of them. And all the wealth and property they had wiped out. And Allah did not make for any of them any successors. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُم مِّن بَاقِيَةٍ. Wiped out in history. Wiped out in terms of not having anything after that. If your nafs as a believer, if your desires call you to become attached to something you have in this world, call you to become attached to worldly things, Remember every person who came before you, who had so much of this world, who had an unimaginable amount of wealth in this world, or power, or fame, or any kind of prominence in this life. And they departed from all that they had. They departed when they died, and they proceeded to the next life with only one thing, and that was their deeds, your good deeds and your sins. That's all you will proceed with. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُم مِّن بَاقِيَةٍ These people were wiped out. And there's a reminder here that goes back to Surah Al-Qalam. Brothers and sisters, no matter how bad things get, no matter how much oppression you see in the world, no matter how much injustice you experience or see on earth, remember what Allah said, إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ My planning is flawless. You must trust in the promise of Allah. You cannot afford to trust in your own interpretation, your own ideas, your own rationale, your own desires, or what people are suggesting. Trust in the promise of Allah. Inna kaydi mateen, my planning is flawless. When the time comes for that evil person in power to be destroyed, they will be destroyed. When the time comes for that evil person to be erased from the face of the earth, they will be erased. When that time comes for the one who is insulting God and his messengers to die and leave this world, and nothing is left behind of benefit to this world, that time will come as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُم مِّن بَاقِيَةٍ Do you see anything, any trace of them left behind? Anything good that they left in this world? I want us to remember the opposite of this as well. That the believer, when he or she passes away, does intend to leave behind many good things. And you cannot always see what you left behind. But one of the most important questions we should ask and work towards on a daily basis is the question of, if I die tonight, what have I left behind that I'm pleased with? And I want you to take a moment to ask yourself this question. Really reflect on it and perhaps write down some answers for yourself. If you were decreed to depart from this world tonight, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had you return back to Him tonight, what did you leave behind that you are pleased with? And if you cannot think of a single thing that you left behind, something beneficial you taught someone, a righteous child that you raised, something you benefited in terms of donations and sponsorships. If you cannot think of anything good, anything major enough that you left behind in a dunya, something beneficial, then ask yourself, what is it that you want to leave behind that you must work towards starting tonight? You don't want to be amongst those who had so much time in this world and did nothing and left behind nothing as well. And this reminds us of two different perspectives on the journey of the soul and what you left behind. You look at what you left behind, but you also ask, what did I send ahead? Right? So what did you leave behind in this world? Maybe you raised righteous children. And that's an unimaginable continuous journey. And every one of them and all their offspring until the end of times, maybe what unimaginable sources of continuous charity and benefit to the world. Maybe you took care of and you sponsored an orphan. You saved their lives. Maybe you donated in charity. You forgot about the many charities that you gave. You benefited so many people in ways you can't imagine. Maybe you mentioned something beneficial. You taught someone something good. And they remembered it. They practiced it. And you're being rewarded for it as long as they are doing it. And also reminding and teaching others about it. Maybe you posted something beneficial online. Maybe you shared a book or a lecture. Maybe you attended a class and then you acted upon it, taught it to somebody else. Ask yourself what you left behind. And what you're leaving behind, as well as what you're sending ahead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to leave behind a very positive, beneficial legacy. A legacy in Islam is not one that is recognized by the people, meaning what, whether or not people recognize it does not matter, and that does not weigh into it. That does not factor into it. There are people who are not mentioned oftentimes by name, and they have so many rewards that we are not thinking about today. People who, for example, facilitated the journey of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Or Imam Muslim, or other scholars of the past, or some of the companions, or the Prophet ﷺ. Khadija radiallahu anha, she was not the one who was a messenger of God, but she supported the Prophet ﷺ. She was very strong for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. She supported him also, not just emotionally, but financially. Khadija radiallahu anha, getting the rewards as well for the message of Islam, for the spreading of Islam, because she supported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning what, don't think of your legacy, of what you left behind, only one that is given recognition or fame by people. That's not how you measure legacy in Islam. You measure it by recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the tiniest good deed that you've done, the tiniest thing that you left behind. And that's the kind of trace you want to leave behind. And also think about people in your life. Are there positive effects on people that you've left behind when you interact with others in society or on social media? If you were to be taken out of the equation, would there be a noticeable difference? Meaning, is there something that you did that was good when your presence was there? It was positive. You reminded people about good things. You shared things on social media that were beneficial. Is that how it was to the point where if you were taken, the trace now that you left behind is a positive one, and there will be perhaps a type of bittersweet sentiment towards this believer, towards this man or woman who used to be a positive presence in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave behind many good things sincerely for His sake, privately and publicly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take ahead to the day of judgment and to prepare for the day of judgment a lot of good deeds. وَلْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Verse number 9. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces another one of these nations, and this is about Fir'aun. وَجَاءَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَنْ قَبْلَهُ وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَاتُ بِالْخَاطِئَةِ. And also Fir'aun and those before him, the people of the overturned cities of Lut and others, indulged in sin, each of them disobeying their Lord's messenger. So he seized them with a crushing grip. He took them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with something that was very crushing. وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَاتِ, some scholars say, is the overthrown cities. These are nations that rejected their messengers. Some scholars say this refers to the nation of Lut, alayhi salam. Now, the reference is to Prophet Lut, alayhi salam, and his people, but also I want us to keep in mind that the rejection of a messenger of Allah is a rejection of all of Allah's message. And so these people, bil khati'a, rejected what Allah revealed. They rejected their messenger, and as a result, logically, they rejected the message of God in general, all the messengers of God. This is why Allah says in ayatan, fa'asaw, they disobeyed, rasula rabbihim, the messenger that came to them from Allah, from their Lord, fa'akhadahum, so he took them, akhdatan rabia, with a crushing grip. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them because they denied the messenger who came to them. Rabia means great or severe or painful. Whoever denies a messenger verily has denied all of the messengers. Allah says, كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Nuh denied all the messengers. كَذَّبَتْ عَادٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. عَاد rejected the messengers in the plural. As well, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Thamud rejected the messengers, plural. They rejected their messengers, even though they got to one messenger that came to their nation. And so as Muslims, we accept and we believe in all the messengers. And this includes Nuh alayhi salam and Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yusuf, Yaqub. This includes alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, David and Solomon, Dawood and Suleiman alayhi salam, Musa, Moses, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. All of them, we believe in them, and you must affirm the reality of every one of these messengers sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people of Quraysh about the nations before, not just Thamud, not just Ad, not just the people of Fir'aun, and now you have a reference to the overthrown, flipped over city, and that is the people of Lut. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr that they were basically overthrown, and they were flipped, and this was their punishment. And then Allah says, "Inna lamma tagha al-ma'u hamalnakum fil jariyah." Verse number 11. I want us to pay attention to the story that's being referenced here. Indeed, when the flood water had overflowed, we carried you. Carried you meaning what? حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ. We carried you in the floating ark, the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. So now the allusion here is to another prophet and another nation. Look at the many nations mentioned in the beginning of Surah Al-Haqqah. These are people that they heard about, the people of Quraysh. They heard reference to some of these before and some they did not. So the allusion is to the flood of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, in which an entire nation, after 950 years of being called to worship God, they deny the truth. Look at the severity of this crime. 950 years of rejecting a clear sign of God. 950 years. And some scholars say the amount, the number of people who eventually believed and followed that messenger, Nuh alayhi salam, were maybe 70 to 80 people at most. Wallahu alam. 70 to 80 people amongst perhaps thousands. 950 years of giving da'wah. And only 70 to 80 people had listened to the message of God and obeyed the messenger that came to them. Think about the people today in the 21st century who, even when you suggest to them that if a messenger, a human being, was chosen by God and came to you with a message from God, would you accept it? Many of them would say no. Many of them say, I don't know that it's true. Many of them say, I have to see something empirical. Many atheists will say, I want to see God. This is what the people said to Nuh, to Musa, alayhi salam, and Allah punished them and wiped them out because they are so arrogant. They are so arrogant. When the sign is crystal clear, they still refuse to accept the sign. Allah says, حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ. We boarded you, we carried you. Because the entirety of the human race today, including the people of Quraysh, the reason Allah says we carried you, even though Quraysh was not part of the story of Nuh alayhi salam, is because all of the human race that exists today, according to some scholars, has descended from the people who boarded the ark, perhaps thousands of years ago, and therefore saved from the flood. It means you exist in the world today because in that flood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had caused only those who disbelieved and were heedless to be drowned, and He saved the believers. And so I want you to think and reflect, my dear brothers and sisters, for these last few minutes before we take a break, inshallah. Reflect for a moment on your experience when you go through pain, when you go through difficult times, when you experience anxiety, when you experience sadness, when your situation seems like there's no way out of it, like there's no exit, there's no solution, there's no relief, when you feel so isolated from people, disappointed by people who hurt you, trying to cope with the difficulties and the difficult trial that came your way. Remember, the one who saved Nuh alayhi salam and his followers and carried them and boarded them on the ark, do you not think that he can carry away your sadness in light of all that's happening around the world? Do you not believe that he can carry you out of a difficult situation or challenging times? Do you not believe that if you raised your hands to the heavens and you asked Allah and you prayed, you begged of him with sincere humility, with sincere submission, with love, with belief, while yes, opening up your heart and asking Allah for strength? Do you not realize that he would accept your dua, your every prayer? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah is so close to you. He says, if my slaves, my servants ask about me, I am nearby. I respond to the one who calls upon me when they call upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Let them call up, let them believe in me. Let them respond to me. How do you respond to Allah? You respond to Allah by following the message that came to you, the message that will carry you on that ark as well, the message that will save you in times of difficulties in a dunya, in this world, psychologically and spiritually and physically as well. And the message that will save you on the day of resurrection, when people are standing, staring in horror on the day that is known as Al-Haqqa, Al-Qari'ah, the believers will not feel any fear and any sadness. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There's no fear on that day. Everything up to this point was a reminder for the people of Quraysh who reject the truth that there will be fear for them on that day, that they should learn from the lessons of the people before. And that's why Allah mentioned Thamud and Aad, and then mentioned Fir'aun, and then mentioned the people of Lut alayhi salam, and then mentioned what's the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. And then there's the spiritual reminder for us, the reminder that you should continue to put your trust in Allah, the one who says kun fayakun. O you who experiences sadness in this world, remember, the one who created your body and your ruh, the one who carried the ark of Nuh, the one who for Musa split the sea and punished those who rejected the truth, the one who brought back Yusuf to his father and baby Musa back to his mother, the one who hears your every prayer and saved Isa, Jesus, with ascension to the heavens, the one who blessed us and saved the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, call upon me, I will respond to you. So call upon him with optimism, with hope, with love, and believe in the response to your every prayer, for the promise of Allah is always true. Call upon Allah, he will respond to you. Call upon Allah, he will respond to you. Call upon Allah, he will respond to you. Do not give up on connecting with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the hadith, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. O son of Adam, O children of Adam, as long as you have hope in me and you call upon me, call upon him, and you have hope in him, he will forgive you for what you've done before while you're seeking this forgiveness. And Allah does not mind, meaning he wants to forgive you. I want you to think about the lessons you can take from this ayah, the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ. Allah carried us all. Why? Because we were saved because of the flood. We were saved because of that moment, because of that incident. The one who split the sea and the one who carried the Ark of Nuh, the one who saved Yusuf alayhi salam after all that he experienced with his brothers, the one who saved Musa alayhi salam in many different times in his life, the one who saved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who elevated and ascended Isa alayhi salam, the one who says, Kun, fayakun, be and it is. Call upon him. Call upon him and do not give up on that. No matter how difficult your situation is or how disconnected you feel from Allah, call upon Allah for everything major and minor. He will respond to you. He will respond to you. He will respond to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so this is a continuation about the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. لِنَجْعَلَهَا لَكُمْ تَذْكِرَةً وَتَعِيَهَا أُذْنُ وَاعِيَةً. So that we may make this a reminder to you. This is a reminder for you so that the attentive ears may grasp it. أُذْنٌ وَاعِيَةً. Retaining ears are the ears which may hear something consciously and take it in. So although the word that we see and Allah uses here is ear, udhunun wa'iya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, and this implies about the one who hears about something, the event, and always remembers it, takes heed from it, and then does not forget the dreadful fate that the deniers of the hereafter and the disbelievers experience, and those who disbelieve today will experience as well. An ear that hears it and retains it is referring to a person who has sound hearing and correct intellect. This is not referring to literal hearing. There are some people who can hear literally, but they cannot hear spiritually. There are people who see literally, but they cannot see spiritually. And so the point here is that the one who hears and reasons correctly, they're sincere, they heard the nasiha, they heard the advice, they heard the reminder, they heard the warning, this is a really bad thing, do not repeat what these people have done, do not make the mistake this person has done. Correct reasoning and a sound heart will lead you to learn a lesson from it. This is why, let's go back, not one surah, but another surah before it, Suratul Mulk. What is the link between this and Suratul Mulk? The link between this point here that I just made and Suratul Mulk, the people of hellfire will confess, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. What did they confess? وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If only we used to listen to people when they advise us, نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ, or use our intellect, our reasoning, we would not be in the hellfire. And so the reality is, you cannot go through life as a believer forcing yourself to make mistakes, forcing yourself to make mistakes so that you would learn from them. No, you are supposed to learn from the mistakes of others as well. And I'll give you an example. One time, a young man here in the Midwest, one of the youth, he said, you know, I don't want to learn from the lessons of other people. I have this weird feeling. I feel really bad saying this. He said, I don't care that other people, and you are telling me in this lecture, other people are advising me not to repeat their mistakes and wishing that if they could go back, they would not do what they did. He said, I feel like I want to go through those mistakes myself and experience them myself. And wallahi, this is a trick of the devil. This is a trick of shaytan. Why else is it that public mention of people's crimes and punishments is a thing? Deterrence, a reminder, learn a lesson, take heed. And this is one of the greatest ways to remind people, and also one of the greatest forms of rehabilitation, that people are improving and becoming better through the lessons they learn for themselves and from the stories of other people. So sometimes sharing these stories, stories of past nations and stories of people today who have changed their ways or become better people, will help other people as well. Sharing stories, so long as no lines are crossed, no boundaries are crossed, is a beneficial thing. And you can help a lot of other people as well by sharing your nasiha, your experience. And the experience is not always only about somebody older or younger. Usually someone who has had more time in this world has a lot more to share in terms of their experiences. But the humble believer learns from the mistakes of all people, learns from the lessons of all people. Because sometimes you may have gone 10, 20, 30 years down a path and not experienced something that someone new to Islam or a younger person may have experienced. So we learn lessons from all people, and we respect those who are older and learn from their wisdom and their experience as well, so that we do not repeat their mistakes. This last passage, verses 13 to 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to mention now the people who are punished, who rejected al-haqq, the day of judgment. Now there's a mention about the day of judgment, the horrors of that day. The first of the events that will take place is the blowing of the trumpet. the blowing of the trumpet, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ, right, in Surah Az-Zumar and other surah as well. And there will be a destruction of everything in this world, a destruction that will spread, meaning what? The day of judgment will start to begin, meaning the end times will begin. And everything will be struck down except whomever Allah wills. Now there's an opinion that there are two blowings of the trumpet, and there's an opinion that there are three total. And you'll see why when you study the differences in Aqidah, and it's not really a big deal. But some of the scholars of tafsir believe there are three. The first blowing of the trumpet, everything starts to be destroyed in the heavens and in the earth, meaning in the skies, in the universe, and in the earth, and the people as well will be affected by this. After this, there will be the blowing in which everybody will die, and then there is the blowing in which everyone is resurrected. And many scholars say there are only two. There's one that begins the end times and people will die, and there's another for the blowing of the day of resurrection. Now here, verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, when the trumpet will be blown with that one powerful blast. نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, the one blast is referring to which one blast? Is it the first one? No, of course, it is the last one. The last blast is referenced here. Why? Because that's the one in which the day of judgment will finally begin. Now, when we read the following verses, we remind ourselves that in some places in the Quran, the three stages of resurrection are mentioned, and they will occur one after the other at different times. And sometimes they are mentioned separately. In the Quran, you have places in which, like Surah An-Naml, the first blowing of the trumpet is mentioned, in which everyone who is still alive, and the believers will not be, is struck with terror, is struck with fear, and people will experience a general confusion. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى, people are as though they are drunk, but they are not drunk. And this is mentioned in the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj as well. And then you have in Surah Az-Zumar a mention about the second and third blowing of the trumpet. So with the second blowing of the trumpet by the angel, what is the name of the angel? Somebody can type it in, inshallah. If not, I'll mention it. When the second blowing is done, everyone who is alive, all human beings, will basically die. Angel Israfil, Jazakumullah khairan. And when the trumpet is blown for the third time, all those who died will rise back to life, recreated for the day of resurrection. They will be presented, and they will present themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some places, like Surah Qaf, Yasin, Taha, Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions only the third sounding of the trumpet. Here, and at many other places in the Quran, mention the events of the Day of Judgment, from the blowing of the first trumpet until the people's entry point into paradise or hellfire, all of these can be described as a single event, Yawm Al-Qiyamah, or Al-Haqqah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning what? The blowing of the trumpet. And that is the verse that we are covering now. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of what's going to happen. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا, and the earth and the mountains will be lifted up and crushed with one blow. دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا. Does anyone here remember or reflect on where else in the Quran something similar is mentioned? فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا. So the earth will be stretched out and changed. The surface of the earth will change. The skies will change. The mountains will be pulverized, destroyed. Haba'an manthura, it's mentioned in the Quran as well. And this is a reminder, what? About the change of the earth completely. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ, on that day, a day will come soon. That's the day of judgment. The earth will be replaced as though it's a completely different place, as though it's a completely different planet. And the heavens as well will look very different. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالِ, they will be lifted up and crushed with one crushing blow. جزاكم الله خيرا, Brother Bassam, in Surah Al-Fajr. دَكَّا دَكَّا, right? Crushing something with that blow that wipes it out. So I want you to think here about a beautiful spiritual, psychological point. Allah is mentioning that this earth, everything you know, every building you know, every single person on this earth, everything on this planet, and the heavens as well will be affected. The mountains on this earth will be crushed in that one crush. With one blow, everything wiped out. Look at the insignificance of a dunya, of this world. Look how terribly insignificant this life is. Dakkatan wahida, one blow, one major blow, and everything in this world is annihilated. The afterlife for those who are wise, those who are intelligent, those who are God conscious, is lasting, it is eternal. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ The hereafter is better for whom? For those who have taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember this. And this is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa as well. Ayah 77, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ The enjoyment of this life, everything of this world, it's very little. It's insignificant. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى The hereafter is better for those who have got consciousness. When Allah says قَلِيلٌ, here's an example of how little it is, how terribly insignificant this world is. One blow and it is wiped out. Whereas Jannah is forever. The hereafter is eternal. So do not become attached to this thing that will be wiped out with one blow. Put your perspective and your eyesight in that which is lasting, that which is eternal. Can you imagine someone who's so attached to this world that they refuse to prepare for Jannah? They refuse to prepare for something eternal? If someone were to do that with something that were, let's say, it was the duration of 1 hour or 1 year, and they were missing out on an opportunity of 1,000 years, almost everyone who sees this scenario would say, that's crazy. Why would you do that? We're not comparing anything finite with that which is finite. We're comparing something that is temporary. It will be like minutes, like seconds to those people in the hereafter. You're comparing it to an eternal life. Do not become attached to this thing that will be wiped out dakkatan wahida with one blow. Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Muhammad. So this is an authentic hadith. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عِشْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ Live how you wish, for verily you will die. وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ And love what you wish, or whom you wish, you will part from it. Love whatever you wish in this world, but you will depart from it. وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِي And do what you wish, for verily you will meet your deeds. You will meet what you've done. The only thing you will take when this earth is wiped out with that one blow, the only thing that is lasting are your deeds. That's all you can take. That is your currency. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ayah 16, وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ I want you to think here, here's a beautiful side gem, about the word انشقت. انشقت and what it requires for you to pronounce it. The qaf with the shadda on it, for example. انشقت. So this is a reminder of something that what is difficult as well, something that is heavy. The sky will then be so torn that it will become frail. Wahiya. Now, this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا The heavens shall be open, it will become as gates, meaning there are many access points to it. Remember as well, for those of you who have studied Juzu' Amma, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the beginning of Surah Al-Inshiqaq, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ Surah Al-Inshiqaq is the one in which the references to the Day of Judgment are similar. وَأَذِّنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ And it listens to and obeys its Lord. وَحُقَّتْ And it must do so. It's inevitable. Now the explanation of this is the same as what has preceded. The verb أَذِّنَتْ means it will listen. Here, listening means obedience. The verb حُقَّتْ, some scholars say it is an obligation upon it to obey Allah's command. Now you and I here, we have free will, right? So as we said earlier in the surah, people who listen to the reminder from God, the reminder may be something you are not expecting that day. It may be something you came across today by accident. When the reminder comes to you, listen, oh dear brother and sister, listen, oh servant of Allah. Listen, for that may be the ark upon which you will find yourself relieved from hardship, saved from punishment, guided to the light, protected from evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who listen and obey. Sami'na wa ata'na, not sami'na wa asayna as the disbelievers would do. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا With the angels on its side. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً On that day, 8 mighty angels will bear the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above them. يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً 8 The word malak is referring to the species of angels. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا Meaning the angels collectively will be standing on and throughout all of the heavens. And in addition to this, we have to reflect. This means that they will be standing on and perhaps floating and flying and so on and so forth all around the universe upon that which was ground to the powder of the heavens, looking at the people of the earth. Because remember, the earth is brought up, lifted, and crushed. فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا There's a beautiful hadith about the 8 angels. These 8 angels who carry the throne, حَمْلَةُ الْعَرْشِ Who are they? the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I have been granted permission to speak about an angel, one of the bearers of the throne." Remember, there are eight of them. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This angel, his feet are in the lowest earth, and the throne is resting on his horn," meaning that's how high up it is. "The distance from his earlobe to his shoulder is like that of a bird flying for 700 years. The distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of this one angel out of the eight is like a bird flying for 700 years. The angel is constantly saying, Subhanak, glory be to you wherever you are." This is reported by Al-Tabarani. So these are eight angels carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know there's no reference here, and we do not ask beyond this. There's no description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse. There's nothing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not liken him to any of his creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay. This is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we know. And these eight angels are the angels who are carrying that throne on that day, as the day of judgment is beginning. And now we will end with this last ayah. Allah says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. So this is an introduction to the day of resurrection now. So people are resurrected. There's the blowing of the trumpet. People are gathered. The earth is crushed. Everything is changed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne is brought with these eight angels. All of the angels of the universe are there. And then يَوْمَ إِذٍ, on that day, تُعْرَضُونَ, you will be brought to judgment. Your deeds will be presented. لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. None of your secrets will remain hidden on that day. The Prophet ﷺ said about this experience in which people's deeds are presented on that day, يُعْرَضُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثَلَاثَ عَرْضَاتٍ. On that day, the day of judgment, people will be presented in their deeds three times. There are three different occurrences to that. فَأَمَّا عَرْضَتَانْ فَجِدَالٌ وَمَعَاذِيرٌ. As for two of these three, they are what? A type of arguing and offering excuses. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَمَّا الثَّالِثَةُ فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ تَطْهِيرٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said, during the third presentation of your deeds, that third occurrence, the pages, the records, the books will fly into their hands. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ تَطْلِيرُ الصُّحُفِ فِي الْأَيْدِ فَآخِذٌ بِيَمِينِهِ وَآخِذٌ بِشِمَالِهِ. So on that third occurrence or third presentation, people will receive their books either in their right hands or in their left hands. And this is going to introduce to us what we will cover in our next session, the next excerpt and passage of Surah Al-Haqqah. Brothers and sisters, every hidden deed you have in this world, you will see on the Day of Judgment. What you hide today will be exposed and made public on that day. So do not hide any deeds except those which you do not mind being publicly announced and exposed before Allah. Nobody escapes with their hidden deeds. Nobody escapes with their injustices. People of evil do not escape with their evil and sinfulness, no matter who it is or how much wealth they have. Prepare today for your presentation tomorrow. Prepare today for your presentation tomorrow. Prepare today for your presentation tomorrow. Know that nothing is hidden from Allah, and everything is within His wisdom and knowledge. And that thought should give you and all of us resilience and optimism when we consider the pain that we feel for our brothers and sisters who struggle and suffer in this world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about all things. Allah is aware of what the oppressors do. When He does not stop them, do not assume that He's unaware. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah reminds you of this so that you do not forget in these times of hardship. Do not assume Allah is unaware or heedless of what the oppressors do. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. He delays their punishment for a day in which the eyes of the people of evil will be staring with horror and terror, because they know they're going to be punished and they did not truly escape with their evil and injustice. The day of justice will establish true justice. People who deserve punishment will receive their punishment. People who deserve reward will be given reward. People who are oppressed will be restored in their rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and guide us. The righteous believer in this world who conceals the faults of others and advises other people rather than exposing the faults of others or looking for the faults of others will have their sins concealed as well. And hopefully because of that, because of their sincerity, they will be guided to tawbah as well. Now, what we want to take at the finale here with this last point, inshallah, these last few minutes, is that you must have some type of accountability, some type of review process, some habit every day. So we eat, we drink, and we sleep every single day. I want you to think about the habit that you have the moment in which you ask yourself, are there private sins that I need to remove? Number one. And number two, do I have private good deeds that I know are secure for me, that I know will be there for me on the day of judgment? Because the more private your good deeds are, the more sincere they are. And we want to make sure, and this does not mean public deeds are not sincere, but there's greater risk when they are public. The more you can make some deeds private that nobody else is aware about, even your own parents, spouse, and children, the better this is for you on the day in which all private things will be exposed. Let the things that be exposed and made public on that day be things of sincerity, deeds of pleasure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to have a healthy dose, a strong dose, a great quantity and quality of sincere private good deeds. May Allah guide us and forgive us for any private sins. May Allah conceal our past and guide us to a better future. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us optimism and hope that what has passed and you repented for, then make up for it with a lot of good deeds moving forward. Allahumma ameen. We should never stop moving forward. We should never give up. We should always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge and his power and his wisdom. Everything will come to fruition on that day, and people who oppress others, they will be dealt with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who says, "Wa umli lahum inna kaydi matin." I delay them for a short while, meaning until a certain time, and my planning is flawless. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and guide us and accept from us. Allahumma ameen. Take care of yourselves. Have a great night. Keep yourself attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to dhikr and dua, especially during these times. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all optimistic and productive with our time and our social media and everything that we have access to. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.